Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. And we welcome all those who are listening on the radio and on the internet today. We welcome you and we hope that you're having a blessed day. The Sabbath day is a blessing because of the rest that God gave us through Jesus Christ at Calvary. And today we want to be able to enter fully into that rest, not just physically, but spiritually into the rest that Jesus Christ gives to each one of us. And as I start here today, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 38. And the topic today is watching and praying. So join me in prayer, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us with your spirit today. Help us to have an attentive heart. May we listen to your word and gather the blessing and the message that you want for each one of us. We pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Mark chapter 14, verse 38, it says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak." I think these words of admonition by Jesus can be understood by all of us when we think about where the disciples were with Jesus. And when we understand the background to this, they were spoken in the Garden of Gethsemane before Jesus was hung on the cross. And Jesus was going through some very stressful times there in the Garden of Gethsemane, realizing what lay ahead for him in his crucifixion. There were his associates there, the disciples, and he had great agony, not just because he was going to be dying on the cross, but he agonized for his disciples who were going to be facing a lot of persecution, a lot of stress in their ministry and their personal lives. And Jesus understood this. He understood how imperative it was for his disciples, for those, not only the 12 disciples, but all those who would follow after down through history, which includes you and I today. He understood what the importance was for praying and for being watchful, so that we understood that the devil is constantly watching to destroy every one of us. He knew how fear and confusion would come into his followers' hearts because of some of the relationships that would happen and how persecution would take place. He also understood how, in just a few days, how Peter was going to deny his Lord three times. In fact, in verse number 30 of this chapter, Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Three times. So Jesus understood all of this, and he was telling them how important it was for them to pray. But you see in this story that Jesus went away to pray. He came back, and he found the disciples, Peter, James, and John, fast asleep. He went away to pray. He came back. He found them asleep again. He went away to pray, and he came back, and here they are, still snoozing away, sleeping again. But he wakes them up and tells them it's time. We've been betrayed into the hands of the sinners that were coming to destroy him. You know, when we think about this word temptation, it comes from this this ideal of being tempted to do evil. But you know, there's also a temptation for us to do good. Isn't that true? The Holy Spirit comes into our heart, tempts us to do what is right before God. He tempts us to be able to do the right things in our life. The devil is constantly trying to do just the opposite and tempt us to go in the wrong direction, to do something that would dishonor God and that would bring evil into our life. And so we have this conflict, this struggle that goes on in this great controversy in this world today. You and I are in this battle daily with the devil. And we have God calling, tempting us to do good and to follow him, and the devil calling and tempting us to do evil. So we have to make a choice. We're stuck in the middle here, and we have to make a choice whose side we're going to be on. Isn't that true? And every day in the choices that you and I make, we decide whose side we're going to be on. Whether we do that consciously or unconsciously, all of our choices determine whose side we're on. And Jesus is calling for us to be able to pray and to be watchful every moment of the day. Listen, friends, we need to be awake and watchful for everything that goes on in our life. The devil is constantly on our tail. He's constantly looking at us. He is constantly trying to do something to deceive us and lead us astray. Satan tempts us when we're the weakest. Did you know that? Yeah, it's when people think that they're really strong, they got it all together, they're going to do everything, they've got this intestinal fortitude, they're going to get it all right. It's then that they're the weakest. Think about that. It's when we have this puffed up ideal that I'm okay, I'm doing everything all right. It's when I think that I'm really the strongest is when I'm really the weakest. You know when we're really the strongest? When we admit how weak we really are. Because it's then we can invite Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to come into our heart, into our life, and give us the victory and strength that you and I need as God's people. Amen. So it's when we're at our weakest point, we can cry out to God for His strength, and we can find victory in our life because of Jesus Christ living in us. Some people fall for riches. They fall for getting rich, having lots of things, a lot of possessions, having all the power that those choices come to a person who has money. You think about Judas, how he wanted to be rich. He's the one that held the bag for all of the disciples. He's the one that collected all the money. He's the one that distributed all the money. He wanted to be rich. In fact, he got paid 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus to the Pharisees and scribes. Some people are weak when women are concerned. You think about David, his experience with Bathsheba. You think about his son Solomon and all the wives that he had and how they led him into idolatry. Sometimes there are things in our life that we often don't pay attention to that help lead us step by step away from God. We need to be watchful. We need to be able to understand how the devil leads us in these temptations. He tempts us when we're really off guard, when we're not paying attention, when we're not praying about those things, when we're not really watching what's going on in our life. We're just going through life. We're taking care of everyday experiences and responsibilities. We're not really paying attention too much about our spiritual life. And the devil knows exactly how to formulate a temptation that is just right for you. And he knows exactly when to put it in place. He has been watching us, and he has had over 6,000 years to be able to develop his technique, and he does it with perfection. Isn't that true? Yeah. It's the same play, but we just have different actors. Generation after generation, there's different actors. As God's people, we ought to be the most educated people in the world about how the devil leads people to do wrong. We should be the ones on the forefront of expressing how much we need Jesus every day. The devil tempts us when we're really not focusing on our relationship with Christ. And that's where we meet with our defeat, is at the hands of the evil one when he comes to us in these sneaky little ways that he does, and he leads us astray. And oftentimes we don't recognize how far we've strayed away until we've gotten a long way from God. You know, it's amazing to me, in all the years that I've been in ministry, I see people who have gone through life. Things are happening in their experience with God and in their experience in just living life, and they oftentimes don't reach out for help until things become so drastic that they can't take it anymore. Things have turned so far away from God, life has become so miserable and it's such a burden that they don't know what to do, and then they want God to fix it for them. And God can do that. But you see, there has to be some kind of conversion in the heart. You know, oftentimes we don't need somebody else to change. What we need is for us to change. We need our heart to be renovated by God's Holy Spirit. We need to be able to be convicted and converted by the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit more today than anybody has ever needed it in the world. We're coming to the close of time. The devil is pouring out his fury against God's people, and he's doing everything he can to tempt us and lead us to do something contrary to the will of God. And we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to live for Jesus. We need that Holy Spirit to give us wisdom so that we can see when the devil is doing something to lead us away from God. Because it's not that one big step that often leads us from God. It's all those little choices that you and I make that lead us further and further from God. We need to be watchful. I don't think there's any other commandment by Jesus received with greater emphasis by him than for us to be watchful. He wants us to watch and to pray. He wants us to be alert And that's what watching means, to guard ourselves against the danger that the devil brings before us. Listen to this. Why is he calling us to be watchful? Well, look at this in Romans chapter 7 and verses 15 through 25. Here, Paul is expressing to us why it's important for you and I to be watchful. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Then I find then a law, that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. How do we have peace in our life? How can we be watchful? It is only because of Jesus Christ living in your heart and mind. Isn't that true? Amen. We need the Holy Spirit in our heart because we have this human tendency to want to do those things that we said we will never do. We have this tendency to do those things that we've made commitments not to do. We ended up doing them. That's what Paul's bringing out here. Those things that he doesn't want to do, that's what he ends up doing. Those things that he knows he shouldn't do, that's what he ends up doing. Those things that he wants to do, he sometimes don't do them. And that is the human experience and why we need to be watchful, why Jesus expressed it to his disciples in Gethsemane before the cross of Calvary. He knew that they were going to be confronted with every kind of temptation and every kind of persecution that could come upon them. And he said, you've got to watch and pray. Unlike what they were doing in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, where they were sleeping, fast asleep, not paying attention to what Jesus was going through, they weren't listening. They should have been praying. They should have been watchful, alert to what was going on. And they were fast asleep. And God calls us to watch and pray. And the implication of this admonition is to watch. It's to learn, to get to know ourselves, friends, to be able to be honest with who we are, to find out our natural tendencies, and to learn about our weaknesses. The devil already knows that. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows exactly how to bring a temptation that is perfectly arranged for each one of us. And he knows exactly when to do it, when it will be most effective. And unless we're watching and praying, friends, we will be taken captive at his will. We need to be able to pray. We need to strengthen these weak points against the assault of the devil. We need to watch to be able to avoid those things. If we know that our weakness is in certain points, we must avoid them and be subject to keep from being subject to the attacks of the devil. If we're not watching, we're opening up our heart and mind to anything that comes along. To watch means to resist. Paul's admonition is to this point, to be able to watch and resist. Look here in Ephesians with me, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 27. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Paul says, neither give place to the devil. Interesting, isn't it? Don't give place to the devil. Don't open up your heart and mind to the devil. How many of you can remember experiences that you've had years ago? Some of those things haunt us, don't they? Some of those things we wish we'd have never participated in. Do not give place to the devil in what you watch, what you hear, what you participate in. Don't give place to the devil. Fight the devil through the strength of Jesus Christ. Give all that you have to Jesus and allow his victory to be your victory. There are conditions to success in watching. And I have this book that we've given out here. It's called The Steps to Personal Revival, Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, what Ellen White writes in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8, page 22. Page 22. She says, "Why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit, since this means that by which we are to receive power? Why do we not talk of it and pray for it and preach concerning it? We need the Holy Spirit today in this world, friends." How many of you have received this book? Is there anybody here that has not received it? Somebody. We want you to have it, okay? They're on a chair out in the foyer, and if you can pick one of those up on your way out and start reading this book, use it as your devotional. Some people have already read through it. And the book is suggesting you read it at least 6 times so that you can gather the information. You know, you read it one time, it just kind of goes by. You don't grasp what it's saying. And you read it over and over. You know, it's like advertisement. Why do you see the same commercials over and over and over? Because the first couple times you see them, they don't register. It just goes right on by. After you've seen it 7 to 10 times, then it begins to register in your mind. And so you read this over and over, and pretty soon you begin to think about what the book is actually trying to get you to do, to pray to Jesus and to give a wholehearted, complete, and full surrender to Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can live in your life. You see, we need reformation and revival in this world, don't we? And we always want it for somebody else that's doing something bad. Man, they need the change. Well, what about us? What about me? What about you? You see, revival and reformation doesn't start with the world somewhere else. Revival and reformation needs to start right here in my heart and in yours. And if we want revival and reformation in our family, if we want revival and reformation in our church and our community, listen, friends, it's got to start with us individually. It has to start with us coming to Jesus, surrendering our life completely and fully with no reservations, and asking for God's Holy Spirit to fill us up with His power, so that we can live for Jesus. How is this work ever going to get completed? How will we ever go home if we haven't done the work Jesus has called us to? God is calling for every Christian in every walk of life to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to watch and to pray that the Holy Spirit would empower us and guide us through our walk with Jesus. We need that. We need the revival and the reformation. We are in this Laodicean state that Revelation chapter 3 talks about. We're in that Laodicean state where everything's okay. We're pretty satisfied with the life we have. We've got it all together. We've got funds to take care of us every day. We got good jobs. We got good retirements. We got nice houses and apartments to live in. We've got the clothes that we need, the food that we eat, the car that we drive. We've got it all together. The one thing that many people are lacking is God's Holy Spirit living in their life. And I think as you read through this book, you'll recognize that there are two kinds of people that's being talked about there, the carnal Christian and the spiritual Christian. And you see, we can be in a denominational church somewhere. We can belong to some church, and we can be as far from God as any heathen. We need to have Jesus Christ living here in our hearts. We need His Holy Spirit blessing us and guiding us and empowering us to live for Jesus every day. God is calling for people around the world from every walk of life to come to Him. This message of watch and pray is not just for us in our church. It's for every person upon this earth to come to Jesus and to watch and pray. Because the devil is like a roaring lion, and he's going to do all he can to destroy your life and mine. And every place that there is a weakness, where there is just a small little crack for him to open up and to get in, that's exactly what he's going to do. And when Jesus is not in our home, guess what happens to the home? The devil wreaks havoc in the home. And you look at what's happening in marriages and homes around the world today. It's not just out in the world. It's happening in the church today too. Divorce rates and separations are just as high in the church as they are out in the community. The church is being torn apart by the devil. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we need to watch and pray, friends, so that the devil does not destroy us and our families. You want to go to heaven? Then you got to know Jesus. You can't be a person who is half committed to Jesus and half committed to the world. We either completely and fully Jesus Christ, or we're not His at all. Does that make sense to you? You can't be half and half. That's what Hosea talked about. This cake, half turned or half baked, it was on the griddle. It was burnt black on one side and never turned over, and the dough was all waxy and wasn't cooked. That's what happens to a lot of Christians, friends. They come into the church, they never progress, they never do anything for Jesus. There's no production spiritually in their life. And God is calling for us to have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. You want to go to heaven? It won't happen by being connected to the world and acting like the world. You can't look like the world and live like the world and expect to go to heaven too. They are two different places. God wants us to be in heaven. You want to be there? You want to be a part of heaven? Then you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to be completely and fully God's children or not? We can't be half and half. We can't belong half to the world and half to Jesus. It's a complete, full surrender to God, that His Holy Spirit would come into us and transform us so that our character will be like the character of Jesus Christ. That's the one thing that you and I will take to heaven. Isn't that true? The character that we've developed here in our relationship with Jesus, when it looks like that divine character of Christ, then Jesus is going to come and take us to heaven. And He's waiting for the world to get ready. And how is that going to happen if it doesn't start right here in our own heart? We need that revival and reformation. I'm pleading with you to take this book and prayerfully read it. Look up the scriptures that are in here. Pray about what it is saying. And ask the Lord to show you your weaknesses and where your faults are at and what you need to change and how you can become more of a child of God. Give your heart and life completely and fully to Jesus. Don't hold anything back. Don't make any reservations or strings attached. Be a child of God completely and fully. Either you're completely and fully belonging to Jesus or you don't belong to Him at all. I know that's a bold statement, but it's absolutely true because you can't be half and half. You can't belong half to Jesus and half to the world because there is nothing but misery that comes from that. And I know that to be a fact. I lived that life way too long. We need Jesus in our heart. We need Jesus in our life. We need the Holy Spirit guiding us and empowering us to live for Him. We need to think about the decisions that we make, how we live our life, what our spiritual condition is. Are we ready to meet Jesus? If He came back today, would you be ready to go to heaven with Him? And if not, why not? It's time for some introspection. It's time for us to be honest with God and ourselves. It's time for us to really look about what's happening in our life. Are we really God's children or not? And I believe that prayer is something that you and I need to be doing on a daily basis. We need to occupy ourselves in the service of God. People that are busy doing God's work, guess what? They're the ones that are least tempted to serve evil. The devil cannot break in and destroy us as long as we've been fortified by Jesus Christ. So if we're praying and watching, if we have Christ Jesus living in our hearts, friend, the devil can't hurt us. Hello, thank you. We need Jesus living here, friends. And as long as we're focused on Christ, the devil can't hurt us. The greatest weapon we have against the devil is prayer. We need to be praying. We need to be praying people, talking to God on a daily basis. And sometimes when life gets so hard, we need to be praying moment by moment that God's Holy Spirit would be with us and guide us through the difficult lives and choices that we have to make. We need to live in the presence of God. What is your life like? Do you start your day in prayer? Do you take time to do some Bible study and listen to God speak to you? Are you constantly calling upon God to fix everything in life? You see, we can blame God for everything. Oh, God didn't do this and God didn't do that. I prayed and it didn't work. Listen, we're participants in this. You understand what I'm saying? We cannot just sit back and say, God's going to do it all. Listen, if we have an addiction, we have a responsibility to do all that we can to resist the temptation to that addiction. And we need to call upon God for victory and power to overcome it. There is a part that you and I play. We use all the strength that we can possibly muster up, and we call upon the almighty power of God to help us overcome it. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you and I face in the world. It is a combination of you, your effort, and you calling upon the power of God. And it is when we combine those two that you and I find victory and success in our walk with Jesus. And so we need to be praying. We need to be watching. If things are not going right in your life, you need to ask yourself, why? Why not? What's happening? What's going on? Where are you at with Jesus? Do you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, or don't you? Are you completely and fully committed to Christ or not? God is calling for us to make these decisions. Listen, friend, time is running out. It's running out for everybody. This world is coming to an end. It is not going to last forever. Just look at what's happening in the world today. It's an indication that this world is coming to an end. There may be people crying peace and safety, but the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us the world is coming to an end, and He's coming back. All these tragedies, all this evil, everything that is in upheaval in our society, God is telling us, get ready, because He's coming again. He's coming soon, and He wants you to be ready so that you don't miss out on heaven. Prayer does some things for us. It keeps our mind stayed upon God, so that as long as our mind is stayed upon God, Satan doesn't have access to our hearts and our life. Listen, if we're focused on the things of the world, how can we focus on Jesus at the same time? Can't do it. I know there are some people who are able to be able to do a couple things at once. I'm kind of single-minded. I can't do that multitasking like some women do. I can't do it. I have to focus on certain things, and I focus on Jesus. And I know when I'm focusing on Jesus, the devil doesn't have access to my mind. You see, this is my computer up here, but it doesn't have a delete button. I can't erase the things that I see and hear and participate in. They're there forever. They push down some of them into my subconscious. I can't recall them as easily as maybe a computer can call back stuff that was on the hard drive. But I can tell you this, even though I can't call it all back, my body, my mind, my life is affected by all those experiences. Everything I see and hear and participate in affects who I am and the choices that I make. And that's why we need to protect our mind, because it is the central control center for our life spiritually. We need to be in focus with Jesus. We need to make every day a day where we're praying and watching, that we do not let the devil come into our hearts and our lives and overcome us. You got struggles in your life? That's normal. That's normal. If you're working for Jesus, if you're living for Him, you're going to have hard times. The devil hates you. He's not your friend. He hates you because you're a Christian, because you've committed to Jesus. I mean, he hated Jesus so much, he hung Him on a cross. You think we're any better than Christ? You think life is going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to go by smoothly just because we're Jesus' children? Not hardly. It's just the opposite, friend. It's just the opposite. If he hated Jesus enough to put him on the cross, what do you think he's going to do to us? Are the servants better than the master? Jesus asked that question. If it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. But we need to be fortified with the power of God's Holy Spirit living in our life. It's the only way that we can find victory. The only way that we will be sustained enough to be able to endure what the devil does to people in this world. It also, in this time of watchfulness and prayer, it connects us with the captain of our soul. Every day we have this connection with Jesus. We're fortifying and strengthening this weak, sinful human being with the power of the Almighty God on a daily basis. That's what we need, isn't it? We need the Holy Spirit living in our life. We need the influence of Jesus in our life so that there is no room for sin. As long as our body, our life, our mind, our spirituality is filled up with Jesus, friends, the devil has no room to get in. Does that make sense? Fill your heart and your mind with Jesus, friend. Make it a priority in your life to pray and to be able to watch what's going on in your life. Prayer is a weapon that Satan fears more than anything else, because when we're connected to Jesus and praying, he cannot do anything to us. Oh, mercy, I wish I'd have heard an amen over that. Listen, you're not impervious to the devil's attacks. What do you think he's doing to you right now? Trying to block out what you're listening to? Oh, I've heard all that stuff before. I'm just overwhelmed with hearing that same message. The reality is that the devil will do anything he can to block Jesus out of your life. And if we fill our hearts and minds with Jesus, the devil doesn't have any room in our experience. And that's the whole thing that you and I need to do, is to watch and to pray. And it was important, or Jesus would not have said it. Jesus would not have reinforced it with his disciples if it wasn't important. It's a message that you and I need to hear. We need to watch and pray, unless we enter in temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's true. So long as we're encompassed with so many infirmities, we need to heed the words of our Lord. We need to put our guard up against the devil, and we need to listen to what Jesus is saying. Look with me, if you will, in this last text here that I want to share with you. This comes from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. Be strong. Be courageous, friend. Stand up, and God will strengthen you. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Praise God. You want victory and success? Paul laid it out for you today. Right here in this text, put on the whole armor of God. And when you choose to stand, when you choose to be committed completely and fully to Christ, you will have all the power you need from heaven to be successful for Jesus. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit into each of our lives. May we give our hearts completely and fully to you today. And I pray, Father, that if we've been wavering, if we're caught in between the world and your world of spirituality, I pray today, Father, that you would give us the Spirit of God to be able to make a decision for Jesus today. That we won't put it off. We won't hesitate. We'll actually give our heart completely and fully to Christ. Guide us. Bless us and save us for your kingdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.